Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. As always, please take a few moments to sign the friendship register at the end of each row and pass it over to the neighbor seated next to you. And please take a look at the bulletin announcement flyer and the needs of our outreach ministries, including our food pantry and our Family Promise collection of clothing items. And folks, choir practice has resumed since Labor Day has passed, and we have officially entered the fall season, and you're welcome to join the choir. Please see our choir director, Ryan, if you're interested in participating in our music ministries here at Berry Christian Church. And there are several coats hanging in the back of the sanctuary on the coat racks back there that have been there for quite some time. Please check and see if they belong to you, and if they don't find a home in the near future, they will be donated to Savers, most likely. All right, and we have a minute for mission. Here's Roberto.
¿Cómo está ustedes? Uh-oh, SpaghettiO.
I think today we're having spaghetti, not Mexican. Well, look, I got my little wand here, and poof. There we go. Children receiving free or reduced prices meals through national school lunches and breakfast programs. For many of these children, school meals may be the only meals they eat. What happens when they go home on the weekends? Through our outreach committee, we provide 10 children from North Kansas City early childhood with weekend food bags with enough nutrition and easy to prepare food to get them through the weekend. Today we will be hosting a spaghetti dinner with meatballs, meat sauce, garlic bread, salad, cake, brownies, and ice cream. All money raised will be going to help buy food for the weekend food bags. Please plan to stay and help support our ministry that provides food for school children in need throughout the year. Thank you, and God bless.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise his name, you servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord because he is good. Sing praises to his name because he is kind. Praise the Lord. We'll now sing all stanzas of hymn number 129. Lift up your heads, O mighty gates.
Come.
May we bow for a moment of prayer. Merciful God, we mourn the many losses that occurred on this day 21 years ago, the loss of lives and the compromised sense of security here in the United States of America, on this day infamously known as 9/11/2001. Lord God, we thank you for the resilience of our people and for the stability of our church home here at Berry Christian Church, as we realize that you are in charge here and that your providence transcends the hurts that others may wish to inflict upon us. We thank you, Lord, for each and every member of our church family, as we realize that while we are many, we are one in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for loving each of us, and we pray that each of us can spread your love, not just to one, but to all of your children. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit as we begin our service of worship, and we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. And we'd like to invite our kiddos to come to the front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me.
That didn't work. Good morning. Thank you. I have a story for you today. It's a story about a little girl and 57 cents. One day, a little girl on a Sunday morning was crying outside the church because she was told there wasn't enough room in the Sunday school for her. This made her very sad. And she cried, "I can't go to Sunday school," just as the pastor walked by. Well, he took her hand and he found a place for her in the Sunday school class, and she was so happy. But she also felt sad because she knew there were lots of children who didn't get to go to Sunday school because there was not enough room. Well, a couple years later, this little girl got very sick, and she went to be with Jesus. But by her bed, they found a little purse. It was very old, and it was very ratty. And inside this little purse was 57 cents. She had saved for 2 years, because she was a poor little girl. And she saved for 2 years to get 57 cents. Well, there was also a note in the little purse. It said, "This is to help make the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." So the pastor took the 57 cents and the note, and he challenged his congregation to raise money to make a bigger church. Well, a newspaper story came out about it. And a man, a very rich man, saw the story. And he offered to sell the church a piece of land that was worth thousands of dollars. The church was very grateful, but they said, "We can't afford it." He said, "I'll sell it to you for 57 cents. So they got the land. And all because a little girl gave from her heart, which made the rich man give from his heart, which made all the congregation give from their hearts. And now, where that little church was, there is a Temple Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that seats over 3,000 people. There's also a Sunday building that has lots of room for lots of little kids. Yeah. There's also a hospital and a college, all because a little girl gave 57 cents to her church. Shall we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you each and every day for the gifts that you give us. Help us to give back in all of the ways that we can, whether it's with pennies and nickels and dimes, or whether it's with a little time and some prayers. Please help us to remember you always and be grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this new week, may we please keep Doris O'Neill in our prayers. She's been dealing with a coronavirus situation for about 2 weeks. And in that same theme, we want to keep Luella Scott's family in prayer. You know, we had service for Luella's husband, Don, several days ago, but six of their family members, as they were gathering for those services, all ended up with the coronavirus, too. Most of them are now making progress beyond that. I know a couple of them are still having difficulty, so please keep them in prayer. And Jake, it's good to see you this morning. Bless you. Glad you're back with us with getting that hip concern resolved. Bless you. And I want to lift up Brad and Lauren Mills Taylor. Brad and Lauren are expecting their first child, and that child, that due date is the 15th of this month. That's this week. So please keep them in prayer. I understand things are progressing well. We also lift up Don and Diana Stone with Diana's health concerns. We remember also Jerry and Betty Donahue as Jerry continues on dialysis. And we lift up Larry Pettis in the midst of his concerns, and certainly Jill Gregory, Rihanna Ralston, Debbie Buzinski, Larry Pitts, Evelyn Prusner, and certainly a number of other people we've been remembering over the last several weeks. May we go to God in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is indeed our privilege to assemble in your house of worship on this Lord's Day morning. For the opportunity to lift up praises in song, meditation, and prayer, we give you thanks. We have lifted up the names of individuals and families that are near and dear to us, as we also know there are people being remembered in silent ways, knowing that you hear each and every prayer and wish to offer your great comfort, resolution, and hope in those matters that trouble us in very personal and sometimes very public ways. On the 21st anniversary of 9/11, O God, we lift up to you the loved ones, family members, and friends who on this day remember their beloved, whose lives were taken from them in a most disastrous day of violence and mass destruction. Even as we remember that so many other Americans have also experienced the devastating loss of their loved ones on other dreadful single days, like what took place during the Civil War or Pearl Harbor or more recently the pandemic. Through every tragedy, we seek your Holy Spirit's great comfort for those in grief. We seek your Spirit's guidance that we may find the resolve to offer comfort and to the bereaved and hope for the downtrodden. And although our heads may be bowed before your presence in humility, our hearts and minds are forever looking heavenward, knowing that the victory over all concerns of our earthly existence are found in you through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, as we also recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so.
The In Memoriam exhibit inside the National September 11 Memorial Museum in New York City displays the names and pictures of a profound cross-section of humanity, ages 2.5 to 85, citizens of 90 nations, spanning diverse ethnic, socioeconomic sectors and faith groups throughout human society. They are the 2,977 people killed during the September 11th, 2001 attack on the World Trade Center, while an additional 184 were killed at the Pentagon and 40 in Pennsylvania. Most of the pictures of these World Trade Center victims were acquired by loved ones, family members, co-workers, employers, and government entities, so that the names are matched with the expressions of love, devotion, and purpose in life expressed by each individual. Pictures were acquired and placed on the wall for every victim, save two, Albert Ogletree and Antonio Dorsey Pratt. Little is known of the two unpictured victims. Family members are sparse, and their food service jobs in the Twin Towers did not require the same federal, state, or corporate official photographs required of so many others in the towers. Yet one employee of the Memorial Museum took it upon himself, and through tiresome hours of research and personal contacts with countless other people, found out more about Antonio and Albert. And blurry yet recognizable photos were recently acquired and added to the memorial, so that now, on the 21st anniversary of 9/11, pictures betray the once living presence of all of the 2,977 victims of the Twin Towers attack. Gathering at our Lord's table this morning, Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd, the shepherd who leaves the 99 in safe keeping and diligently searches until the one lost sheep is found. Jesus also tells us that we are of such personal value to God that even the hairs upon our head are counted. Thus, as we receive the bread and the cup representing Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, may each of us truly experience God's great love, for surely our names and faces are pictured and cherished in God's mind and heart for all eternity. Our communion hymn is number 411, "For the Bread Which You Have Broken." We sing all three stanzas, please.
For the words which you have spoken. table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you." That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Dave leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table, we remember the sacrifice your Son made for the forgiveness of our sins. Bless this bread representing his broken body and this cup representing his spilled blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. The biblical command is the offering of the first of one's goods received in the fields, the vines, and from one's livestock. This is called the first fruits, and such offerings to God are based on the premise that if one gives faithfully of the first of one's harvest, then one can be assured that God would provide the balance of one's needs over the course of the remaining harvest. This is indeed giving to God in faith. Today, we give to God in faith, believing that as we offer our resources for the benefit of others, surely it is God's desire to bless the giver and the gift. As Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be the measure given back to you. Bob leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray for these offerings to help your church here at Berry. May it feed the poor and shelter the homeless. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'm going to be about the unusual task of actually using the pulpit because I've got a lot of ground to cover. It's a lot of material. And the purpose of today's message is not only to convey to you our congregation's commitment to the tithe and where that comes from Scripture, but to also inform you about the myriad of various outreach causes that our congregation has continued to support for many decades. In our discussion with the outreach committee, it was thought that, you know, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes, but often many of our church folks in the pews don't necessarily know all that is going on. And so we felt that here on this Sunday that we're having our lunch, that will also be our opportunity to take up an offering for the weekend of food bags, is a wonderful opportunity for us to also celebrate our congregation's commitment to the tithe and to help you understand where that tithe goes to. And so this morning I lift up to you the scripture text of Malachi in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. You, like your ancestors before you, says God, have turned away from my laws and have not kept them. Turn back to me and I will turn to you. But you ask me, what must I do to turn back to you? I ask you, is it right for a person to cheat God? Of course not. Yet you are cheating me. How, you ask? In the manner of tithes and offerings.
a curse is on all of you because the whole nation is cheating me. And then verse 10, bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple so that there will be plenty of food there. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you in abundance all kinds of good things. Now that is a powerful, very precise text, is it not? May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we are indeed grateful for the abundance of blessings received, chief among them the forgiveness of our sins and privilege for our spirits to one day reside in your glory. It is in thanksgiving that we offer the tithe for the glory of your purposes here on earth. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Most of us have likely heard the expression the tithe, but do we know what it means specifically and where it comes from? The word tithe comes from an Old English word which simply means tenth, or is the expression of one-tenth of something. And the tithe is mentioned primarily in the Old Testament books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. For example, in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 31 tells us that one-tenth of all produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, belongs to the Lord. Then in 32, one of every 10 domestic animals belongs to the Lord. When the animals are counted, every tenth one belongs to the Lord. In 34, these are the commands that the Lord gave on Mount Sinai for the people of Israel. But for this morning, our attention is drawn to the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. 5 centuries before Jesus, the temple in Jerusalem is reconstructed, and the Jews return from that Babylonian and Persian exile. But the prophet Malachi finds it necessary to call the Jewish priests and people to renew their faithfulness to the covenant God had previously established with their ancestors. And in addition to the laxity of their personal witness, Malachi says in chapter 3 that the people are cheating God because they are not honoring God by giving the required tithe, or one-tenth of their bounty from the land to God, as the law of Moses required. God declares through Malachi in verse 7, like your ancestors before you, you have turned away from my laws, and you have not kept them. God says to the people of the entire nation that they are cursed because they have not honored God. And God declares in verse 7, turn back to me, and then I will turn back to you. God then challenges the people to test him. Be faithful to God and just see how much God is willing to be faithful to them in return. Such faithfulness is to be expressed in the tithe. As God proclaims in our key verse for this morning, that 10th verse, bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple so that there will be plenty of food there. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you in abundance all kinds of good things. And you know, that is certainly true. If all people offered up the tithe, imagine the wondrous work that could be achieved. In our day and time, too many people often look at this Old Testament command of the tithe to be something of the past. Many believe that, if we just give from the heart, that's good enough. Yet, how true it is that the faith groups that emphasize and more closely follow the biblical principle of the tithe are often those more prosperous in their ministries and in their outreach to others. The current success of the Mormon Church is a direct result of the requirement of the tithe among their members. The worldwide outreach ministry success of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a direct result of their emphasis and response to the tithe. Among other occasions in the 182-year history of Berry Christian Church, The late 1970s was a time in which our church faced financial challenges. It was that era just before the mall was being developed, and of course this whole area became more suburban America. The church was struggling to pay the bills from one Sunday to the next, just like many families find it difficult to stretch dollars from one paycheck to another. It was also difficult to come up with much of anything to send out to various outreach causes. And during this period, Lana Whitten remembers that Iva Mae Milburn, who had been a member of Barry with her husband Norma since 1955, clearly stating, "Lana, until we as a church start giving 10%, in other words, the tithe, we aren't going anywhere." So the church's leadership took Iva Mae's comment to heart and became committed to the tithe of blessing others by giving 10% of whatever comes through our door to outreach ministries. Giving the 10% tithe, even when the monthly bills are not completely tallied up, continues to be our congregation's commitment to obey God's command and to believe in all faithfulness that if we are faithful to the tithe, God will bless the ministries of this congregation. We give the tithe each month, even when the income of some months is short and during other months when it is long, not sure whether we'll balance out at the end of the year. We give the tithe each month when there are obvious building repairs that need to be done because the needs of people are far greater than the needs of a building or a parking lot. And through the last nearly 50 years, many people have been blessed throughout our partnership with many organizations here in the Northland and beyond. At the end of each month, the outreach committee meets to distribute the 10% tithe to outreach. Of this 10%, one-third automatically goes to Disciple Mission Fund. It's the national outreach ministry of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ that commits its resources to a myriad of needs across the nation and the world. The other two-thirds of the tithe is then distributed to various causes. Sometimes it's a new program or need that has come to the attention of the outreach committee. And then there are very specific organizations our church has contributed to for decades. In fact, during the last two pandemic years, our cash donations were quite instrumental in providing vital resources to these organizations when other financial resources were drying up. This was especially the case for what is called North Star Baby Grace and the Northland Assistance Ministry. We heard on several occasions over that two-year time period of the pandemic that our cash resources, month by month, helped keep them going. The Weekend Food Bags Ministry has been supported by Barry Christian Church for the last 20 years. In fact, it was a program that we began in a cooperation with another church. That other church fell by the wayside, and our congregation kept going. And our free will cash donations received during today's lunch will help support that ministry this year. Each week of every school year, the food for 10 weekend food bags is purchased, prepared, and delivered primarily by Don and Judy Thomas for a total of 400 bags per school year. Each weekend, these food bags serve 10 children ages 3 to 5 years of age and their families from the Early Childhood Special Education Center that is now located in the former Hobby Lobby and Price Chopper buildings on Highway 1 in Gladstone. Also, during the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons, 10 family meals are prepared and delivered to families at the Early Childhood Center, and another 10 are prepared and delivered to families of the Pathfinder Elementary School located just west of Barry Christian Church. And Barry Christian Church also provides a no-questions-asked food pantry for families in the Northland. Each week, our congregation's administrative assistant, Carol Studebaker, with the assistance of several people from our congregation prepare sacks of food that are distributed every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon to people who make appointments by calling the church office. This food pantry is stocked by the food donations received according to the needs that are listed in each Sunday's bulletin and by cash donations from our congregation that are used to purchase groceries from Harvester's Distribution Center and through discount grocery stores like Aldi's over on North Oak Traffic Way. No government assistance is given to this program, and that's why we're able to run it the way we run it rather than the way the government would tell us to. It is provided solely by the membership and friends of Berry Christian Church and serves between 40 and 50 families a month. And founded by Northland clergy several decades ago, the Northland Assistance Center is a nonprofit organization that receives cash donations from Berry's outreach ministries nearly every month. The Northland Assistance Center is housed at First Christian Church in North Kansas City and serves Clay and Platte County residents. Citizens receive emergency assistance for rent, utilities, medicine, social services, job referrals, job training, and assistance with a myriad of other issues that come up when people are facing financial and social challenges. This year alone, Northland Assistance has served 746 households for a total of $164,878.50 in assistance so far. Northland baby Grace, housed at North Star United Methodist Church, receives cash donations from our outreach ministry also almost every month. Baby Grace provides diapers, baby wipes, and a myriad of other baby and toddler supplies so desperately needed by young families with young children on limited incomes. Baby Grace also provides an open house two times a year that distributes a number of donated items needed for children with infants and toddlers, including children's clothing, toys, baby beds, strollers, and you name it. Family Promise of the Northland is a nonprofit organization that assists homeless and low-income families. Family Promise helps people in need achieve sustainable independence while being temporarily housed in a church facility. Our congregation's Churchwomen Fellowship, our cash donations and tangible gifts that we give provide practical resources year after year, such as personal hygiene, items, laundry facilities and supplies, meals, and temporary housing. The Clay County Closet is an all-volunteer nonprofit dedicated to the clothing needs of impoverished residents of Clay County since 1959. Good, clean clothing is a basic human necessity that helps to restore dignity, self-respect, and hope for people in need. Berry Christian Church provides new clothing items through various annual clothing collection drives and also provides cash to this organization every year. About 2,700 people are provided clothing each year through the 10,500 volunteer hours provided by about 50 volunteers, many of whom are members here at Berry. Our congregation's outreach funds and personal donations also support our pastor's emergency fund. In confidence and at the discretion of the pastor's emergency fund provides for emergency needs for people in our fellowship here at Berry. Funds have provided payment for housing and utility bills, significant medical bills, prescriptions, and a number of other critical concerns that have arisen during times of crises or emergency for families in our fellowship. In addition to the ministries that I've mentioned thus far, well beyond the tithe, every year we have collections and donations that are made to a myriad of other programs that meet specific needs of others. School supplies are collected at the beginning of each school year. Operation Christmas Child that provides a shoebox for Christmas gifts for children overseas. Frontline Fly Fishing that supports veterans dealing with post-traumatic syndrome are blessed and benefited by the sport of fly fishing and that cooperative support they have for one another. Cards for troops overseas. Rebuilding Together KC that remodels, repairs, houses and addresses disability access in people's homes across the Northland. From what I've described this morning, you can see that Berry Christian Church is committed to the tithe and committed to using that tithe for the needs of others. Our congregation's own personal stewardship challenges each of us as individuals and families to also consider committing ourselves to the biblical command of the tithe. And even though we may not feel capable of providing a full 10%, it is a good thing to start at some percentage and gradually work our way to a goal that we think honors God and serves others. If we do, we'll be amazed at what blessing will be God's response. Because I think that scripture text of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 is truly a powerful one and one that should challenge each of us. For God says, bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple so that there will be plenty of food there. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you in abundance all kinds of good things. And isn't that true? If the entire world operated on the concept of the tithe, just imagine, there would be no need anywhere, would there? Where are you in your relationship to God? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 612. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of O Jesus, I Have Promised.